is that a large effect size in science is something on the order of like 6/10 of a standard deviation. Right? In other words, it's not that big a difference. People will say, whoa, you know, a statistically significant difference, particularly if you have a large population, a large sample size, is like 2/10 of a standard deviation. In other words, the difference between the A group and the B group, or between the M group and the W group, the men and the women. So the average difference, first of all, is kind of small. Second, just to do it pictorially, you know, if this is the difference, roughly, on almost all measures, probably all measures, really, of the female brain and the male brain, other than something that's kind of irrelevant, like brain in proportion to body weight. Women's female brains are typically a little smaller because female bodies are a little smaller. But in proportion to body weight, they're ballpark the same. If the average difference between the male brain and the female brain is this big, what's the difference, what's the range of differences in the normal range of women? Let's take the population of 40-year-old women. It's this big. Okay? In other words, and the same with men. So, in other words, the difference within the population is enormously greater than the difference between the average of each group. So let's keep that in mind when we think about any of these kind of contrasts. And it's not just the male brain and the female brain. You hear these kind of contrasts in other areas as well. Okay, maybe one more person, then we'll do a practice. And actually, a couple more people. Yeah, right there.
I think there's a lot of interesting things to reflect on where the integration of the medial and the lateral.
Yeah.
For instance, I like to freestyle rap sometimes.
Yeah.
And that seems like an integration. It's very verbal.
Yeah.
But it's not planned, right?
Sure.
So I think there's probably a lot of, I'm trying to think of other examples on the fly there. But
that's a good example. Yeah. Poetry. Yeah. That's right. Where there is both, you know, and it makes me think of Zen and the Art of Archery, wonderful thing, where you really do a lot of medial drills, you know, how to pull the bow back, and then finally you transcend the form, and you just effortlessly whoosh, go like that and, you know, split the inch-wide wand, you know, at the end of that, where that doorway is. Whoosh, you know. Okay. Yeah.
I just thought about these dual bones as being left hemisphere and right hemisphere.
Right.
But you're saying...
That's right. Yeah, it's very good. I think, again, a generation ago, maybe people would have kind of listed those in that way. But it does seem that it's more a midline activation that draws on faculties in the right hemisphere for visual imagery, let's say, or total awareness, or draws on faculties in the left hemisphere for linguistic processing or sequential planning, let's say, or language comprehension, to the ends of the ego. Yeah. Right? Now, but I also think you're right that it's not, you're getting at something I think that's very important. I don't think it's a coincidence that most lateral activation is on the right hemisphere. You know? So in that sense, I think, yeah, you're really on to something pretty important. And it also goes to a way into this by moving into imagery and moving out of language. That's a wonderful way to start lighting up, stimulating and strengthening, using the mind to change the brain, to change the mind for the better, stimulating and strengthening the neural substrate of that lateral mode of being.
And as you're thinking about the medials, is the things that were in the medial were more things that you would need if you were living in a cave and you were worried about making it to the next week or whatever. Where the other things, you're a little bit like more dealing in this newer world that we're dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to say it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although on the other hand...
Maybe it's a stretching because it's on the outside and maybe newer.
I think there's a place for medial mode, but when I read accounts of sort of like the state of mind and the way of being of people in hunter-gatherer cultures, including today, the Aboriginal peoples in Australia, for example, they seem to hang out a lot more in a medial mode than New York stockbrokers or Marin County psychologists do. Okay, maybe another person in the back?
Yeah.
Oh, I misspoke. Thank you. In lateral mode. They hang out a lot more in lateral mode than
so
New York.
We already have that one, and we're getting this one.
Yeah.
I think
humans, you know, our genetic close cousins, certainly the last 100,000 years, could go both ways. I think their life called for a lot of lateral activation as more of the baseline, and they would activate medial activation when they really needed to. Right? I think the reverse is true for most people in the industrial West today.
So we have art.
We have art. We have are the things to help us go more lateral. And a couple more, and then we'll wrap up. Yeah. What kind of technique?
The Callahan technique. It was using the left-right hemisphere of the brain.
Okay.
Saying that the right hemisphere of the brain dealt with emotions and the left facts. And when somebody got stuck in the right-hand side of the brain, you knew it because it kept coming up over and over again. And so he used a tapping technique. It's now, I think it's called Gary Craig, EFT.
Yeah, emotional freedom technique, yeah. I think there is a certain amount of these methods, like EMDR, where you have people move their eyes back and forth rapidly, or other bilateral stimulation, or binaural beats, or different things, or rapid eye movement sleep. You know, in other words, they're all trying to do kind of what's healthy in rapid eye movement sleep, where you do get literally quite quickly, like a second. You know, it's sort of, or even less than a second, left. Right, left, right, left, right. That does seem to promote consolidation and things sort of sorting out and getting better. And I suspect, again, I often think about that neuroscience and psychology as skilled practices are roughly today where biology and medicine were about 100 years after the invention of the microscope, which is to say about 1725, 300 years ago, more or less. You know, we got a long way to go. Okay, so let's do a practice, right? So these are some ways in the bottom list that are neurologically savvy to just tip into a more of a lateral mode. And I'm actually going to move through them fairly quickly. In practice, I have found that that they're useful for me personally to spend more time with or use. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of them right here and now, and you might want to explore what it's like. So for starters, I hate to do this to you, but why don't we go medial for a moment? So for a moment, just, if you will, start planning something. Think about something like a project you're dealing with or a problem. Like think about some kind of problem, not too heavy, or maybe it's more like an opportunity you're really pursuing. Let's keep it happy here. Opportunity you're pursuing. And just kind of think about it for about half a minute, and then I'll encourage you to start doing something different. And as you do these practices, try to have a little awareness in the back of your mind of, what's this like? What's it like to be this way? And then drop into awareness of breathing. What's that shift like? From opportunity-focused planning to sensory awareness of breathing. Next, as you can, try to get a sense, if only for a second or so, of the sensations of breathing as a whole. Normally, attention skitters from the breath at the throat, the belly, the upper lip, the heart, the lungs, the belly again. Instead, try to get a sense of the sensations of breathing as one single gestalt, one unified whole. If that sense crumbles, that's all right. See if you can find it again. You could also experiment with seeing if you can get a sense of the body as a whole. All the sensations in the body experienced in a unified gestalt sort of way, if only for a second or two. Feel free to keep settling into this growing sense of all of experience as a whole, in which there is a kind of singleness of mind, moment after moment, and abiding increasingly as that whole. Allow yourself to not know what's going through the mind, letting it be whatever it is without needing to understand it, label it, or connect anything to anything else that's arising in awareness. Open to a growing sense of spaciousness. A kind of boundlessness, panoramic quality. As if the space of awareness is vast, boundless, like the sky, and what moves through it is relatively small compared to the whole, like a flock of birds moving across the sky and passing on. allowing and sinking into perhaps a growing sense of tranquility. If that's not there, it's all right. But if one can open to it, even encourage it, tranquil, with well-being, nothing to do, nowhere to go, no one to be. Exploring compassion as well as a quality of this tranquility, or opening to and encouraging compassion. Limitless, unfocused compassion. Heartfelt, boundless and wide, including all beings. Of course, no neural state, including lateral activation is enough, one also needs the penetrative insight, as Shantideva says here, combined with the calm abiding, which in every account I can think of reading has a lot of lateral qualities to it, taken not just 10 or so minutes worth, which we just did, but very, very deeply. Penetrative insight. But it's also important to take the fruit as the path. In other words, to allow ourselves to increasingly live as and from that penetrative insight combined with calm abiding, bringing that into our life while having faith in, which is an awakening factor, having confidence in the fundamental nature, and the fundamental capacity we all have to settle into these modes of being, supported by neural capacities that are present in every healthy, you know, ordinarily healthy brain. It's our home. It's our true nature. And at the end of the journey, or along the way even, we settle into the state that the Buddha describes here in a passage actually that Andy Olinsky put in one of the insight journals from the Berry Center for Buddhist Studies as a description of someone who truly has come to the end of the journey, which we can also take and use as qualities we attend to and open to and encourage. Use those phrases I've used a lot. We open to and encourage all along the way. So thank you very much for your attention, and look forward to talking more with you about this at dinner and other times. So that's it. Thank you very much. Take a break.